Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things in the law, judgment, mercy, and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others, blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may be clean." The evocation of hypocrisy always touches a deep chord in my heart. After many years of experience as a church minister, I fully realize how easy it is to try to impress people on the one hand and to delude myself about my own behavior. In my early years as a priest, I was certainly a pebble in the shoe of the hierarchy. My involvement in inner city ministry, being relevant, campus ministry, and the peace movement made me sympathetic to issues that made my bishop at the time very nervous. He was a very bright man of great refinement, but also extremely conservative. Among ourselves, we younger priests would often tell the perhaps true exchange of a conversation with the bishop, where the young priest simply said, "Well, in such a case, I just do what Jesus would." And we all had the bishop responding, "Oh, no, not that." And this story endured because it was probably very close to the truth in the exchange of our attitudes. I would still not budge an inch over some of the issues of our controversies, but at the same time I realize more than ever that there is often a great distance between my preferences and those of the Lord. Experience is a stern teacher. Yet my deepest concern in all of this is that my search for balance and fairness among contesting opinions, in my preaching and far more important in my manner of life, I would not tone down and compromise the full experience and expression of the gospel promises. An easy example which comes to mind is that in the light of the terrible and yes, often justified beating we clergy took in the sexual scandal, we might become, because of this, far too cautious and fail to be properly affectionate in our behavior and so give everybody a message that I believe is totally contrary to the gospel. This leads me to my deepest concern over the admonitions of today's gospel. And that is that in negotiating my own comfort zone in the light of the gospel, I would simply fail to preach, not less embody, the highest and most beautiful expressions of the gospel. In a world made vapid by compromise and indifferentism, a global culture of materialism and self-indulgence, God's people need to hear a firm and certain voice. The word needs to be embodied in experience so that it rings true. A hollow, authoritative tone of voice or sanctimonious demeanor will put people off, and rightly so. We preachers, and indeed all followers of Christ, need to be reaching for the truth. Sometimes we may be looking in the wrong direction. In our desire to be perfectly reliable and objective, we look on the outside. But what is also really needed is that we look within. We need to more fully realize that we are a work of God's mercy in progress, and then open our lives to that growth, that change, that can more clearly reveal God's work in the midst of our human condition. This is all the more remarkable because it's real, all the more beautiful because it's so surprising. So often we never expected that God would work the magic of his mercy in such creative ways. But Jesus has come among us to share our vulnerability and humanity. Our Christian faith is so much more than a sterile, perfect abstraction. But we have to let the grace flow through us and let the fullness of life be realized within us. How this is done most often comes as a surprise. To illustrate this, I choose two works of art that have had a great effect on me. Rembrandt's wonderful Return of the Prodigal Son is a perfect example of how love arises out of a son's brokenness and a father's lonely disappointment. Both become whole in the way we had never imagined in the very act of forgiveness. In recent months, I've also seen a near-perfect reproduction of Michelangelo's Pietà, Mary holding the body of Jesus as he's been taken down from the cross. The beauty of the proportions and the texture, even of the simulated marble, are something well beyond the ordinary. The artist proclaims that even in this most tragic moment of all, the death of Jesus on the cross, there's a grandeur that touches something in the eye and the soul of the viewer. The artist captures the tragedy of all life and death, and yet in the visage of the tender humanity of this loving mother, we find that there is something that grounds us in the full and wonderful expression of divine mercy. God bringing life out of death, beauty out of tragedy, sublime joy out of defeat. The gospel today admonishes us to be truthful in our preaching and teaching, in our human posture before people. It leads us to become alive in the full promise of the resurrection, now and always, as we proclaim the gospel. If we would wish it, God's mercy can have such a remarkable expression in each one of us.